Hello, everyone. What an exciting day, because today we're going to be flipping the script on the podcast process and sharing all the insights that we have from in-house. And our focus today is a continuation of the focus on the one desired result, specifically looking at interdisciplinary approach. And we're representing the Student Support and Academic Achievement Unit of Florida's Problem Solving and Response to Intervention Project. Fabulous and also amazing Joe Latimer. And with me today is Ann Risto and Pam Suddeth. And we're very fortunate to advocate for diverse learners in the state of Florida. So let's get started. I'm going to start with Ann. So Ann, first, can you explain to the crowd, you know, why intradisciplinary?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Florida is approaching each subject area in that interdisciplinary way. And what that means when we unpack it is that the focus becomes in how the elements of a subject are working with each other. So an example of that would be in ELA. We don't teach reading in isolation, but we strengthen it when we teach it in combination with things like writing and vocabulary. Think about it this way. The intra represents within the discipline of English language arts. And that's something we can really get excited about.
Awesome. That great summary, and I appreciate that. But you do have me wondering, you know, how do educators tackle such a large task like that? And Pam, I'm wondering if you can kind of chime in with what you think about that.
Thank you for directing us there, because we see a few important things to consider, such as the item of influencers, misconceptions, and systems. So what we're going to do is explain, I'm going a little depth a little bit later about what these are, but just a cursory level, when you think of influencers, you're thinking about the specialized knowledge, authority, or insights into a specific subject. And misconceptions are that inaccurate idea or conception that we falsely hold to be true. And we think, yeah, this is the way it has to be. And then a system are how we are related our practices that work towards a common goal.
Awesome. Well, I know you just gave a quick kind of summary of each one, but I'm wondering if we can dive a little bit deeper and unpack some of these. So Ann, can you start us off by going deep what we mean by influencers?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I think about influencers, I think about how we're selecting the related benchmarks. And like Pam defined for us earlier, influencers are like specialized knowledge or authority or insight into a specific subject. So we can't just select benchmarks in relation to themselves, but we have to consider our multiple entry points for the diverse learners that we're serving. So we need to not only think about, are we teaching these benchmarks as an introduction or practice and mastery or review, but we also need to think about, are our students, the variety of learners in our classroom, reacting and responding to the instruction for these benchmarks in an introductory practice mastery or review matter? I also wanted to note that when we think about all learners, we have to consider ahead of time during our collaborative planning for things like explicit prerequisite knowledge and instructional implications, or high probability and high intensity barriers, that horizontal alignment and vertical articulation that we spoke about in our last focus. Because these things all ensure that we are giving everyone an equitable opportunity for learning. So we'll break these items down in future sessions, but keep in mind, it's a layering. So if you look at a funnel of we're selecting these benchmarks, we're looking at the relationship of the benchmarks, we're looking at the relationship of those benchmarks with the relationship of our students who are our joy and pleasure of interacting with the learning that can take place from the teaching selections that we choose. So Pam, do you want to talk a little bit about misconceptions?
Yes, I do. Thanks so much. But I want to also jump off of what you said, because I loved what you said. So thank you. But I was thinking about also like what that educator brings to the table as a professional. And that's just what you spoke to, with those knowledge and skills that, you know, they have learned over years and the toolkits and everything that they've utilized to meet those expectations and those stakeholders that you referred to. So I just wanted to touch back on that because what you were saying just spoke to me so clearly. So thanks. But yeah, when we think about the misconceptions, we're thinking about those inaccurate ideas that folks are starting to think, oh my gosh, you know, I have to do things in such a specific way. And the beautiful thing about the way that everything's rolling out and the idea of how the standards play is that a misconception could be that a benchmark can only be covered once. And in reality, what we're knowing is that it can be and should be built upon over several times throughout the year. So for example, a writing in relation to reading can also be pulled in with the vocabulary as well. So you would also scaffold that learning and that whole process that's taking place to ensure that students are able to master each one of those standards by the end of the year. Also considering our kiddos that are, you know, coming into our room that are struggling, you know, even going back to a previous standard, the previous level, to say, gosh, you know, I know that they are functioning here and I need to pull them up to the level of the standard that and master the standard for this grade level as well. Some other, you know, benchmarks are finite, and I think that we know that they're not. That's an example of sharing about how they're so adaptable and they can be used throughout all of the different areas that we have to be able to ensure that they know and learn by the end of that year. Thinking about the benchmarks, there can only be one spotlight benchmark or just one area of focus. And I know that that's happened over several years, but we know that in actuality, an educator being very purposeful, thinking about if you really broke down all the activities and things that are occurring within the classroom, all of the different levels and different standards that are met, or benchmarks that are met, I should say, then you know that you are touching on so many benchmarks. So just keeping those kinds of ideas into consideration, it's almost like the educator can take a huge sigh of relief. So Anne, what are you thinking about? What could we add about the systems? How can that support them?
Yeah, I think that really leads nicely into our systems, because we want to look about how do we ensure that the benchmarks align with instruction across our tiers. And when we think about that definition of systems being related practices that work towards a common goal, we want to make sure that there aren't missed opportunities within our systems for things like data-informed decision-making or structuring less than an intervention design, collaborative planning for core, supplemental, and intensive instruction, and the relationship amongst all three of those. And then, of course, universal design for learning, when we think about engagement, access, representation, and action. So some questions that we want to consider, and we talked about this in our first focus on the one when we introduced the standards, we want to really consider, what do I need to know about the standards and the benchmarks? How might the learning of the standards and benchmarks be demonstrated? And why is the learning of the standard or benchmark relevant for my students? And this really is a reminder of how we can break it down in regards to equal opportunities or equality in teaching and learning for all. We need to look at students being given experiences in processing information and understanding why that effective network, why that's necessary in our practice. We also, depending on prior experiences and thinking critically, need to know that students might need a little help developing a foundational understanding of what, like the recognition network, the new information that's being learned requires. And then it's also conceivable for students to be ready to progress into how the strategic network, which will help them solve problems or use evidence related to the information, takes place. And that really relates back to what I said earlier in regards to, are we introducing the lesson or learning? Are we looking at practice and mastery, or are we looking at review? And are we doing that in relation to not only the delivery, but in relation to the learning outcomes and what our learners are telling us through informal and formal assessments, they're perceiving the lessons to be. So very important elements within our systems for sure.
I'm so glad you said that. I just have to jump in because it goes back to what you said about those missed opportunities. There aren't going to be any missed opportunities if this is occurring in a very strategic way. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the very beginning when we chatted about how purposeful educators are with their planning and design in order to be able to meet the level of the benchmarks.
Right. When we know better, we do better, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Anne and Pam. As always, this has been great. I could listen to you guys all day talk about this kind of stuff, but we have to end this podcast in a timely fashion. And I do want to mention to all our viewers out there that not only this podcast, but also a summary video of these same topics in an application sheet and additional resources are found on our student support and success Weebly website, which you can find as online, as well as Pam and Anne are always available to talk through any questions that you have or want to discuss this further, if you reach out to them or if they have structured online office hours. But before we leave today, even though this is an in-house podcast, you guys cannot escape our tradition of a lightning round. This is where we spend the last minute just getting to know the people we interview. Basically, within a minute, I'm going to shoot a bunch of questions at you, and you just, give a quick fire response, and we'll go through these, and we'll just kind of get to know you guys a little bit better. Are you guys all right with that? Do you guys understand? You guys been through it before.
Yeah, we're good.
We're excited.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to get 1 minute on the clock. Pam, I'm going to start with you, and you just, fire away whenever the question comes. All right. Are you ready, Pam?
Ready.
All right, first question is, what is one important skill that you think everyone should have?
Listening, to be a good listener.
Great answer. All right, Anne, what's your favorite dessert?
Oh, wow. Anything involving chocolate, for sure. Anything involving chocolate.
Awesome. All right, back to Pam. Pam, who was your favorite teacher growing up?
Oh, my gosh, my first grade teacher, Mrs. Bunch, she was so sweet and she had freckles all over her. I just loved her. I thought she was beautiful and so sweet.
She sounds like a bunch of fun, if you ask me.
She was.
Back to Anne. Anne, what do you hope to be doing in 10 years?
Oh, wow. In 10 years? I hope to be living without a mask and being out in public doing things, socializing, traveling. I really miss the amount of traveling that I used to do and being able to just connect with people in a different way. So I do hope to be doing that.
All right, Pam, last one. If you could be on any game show, which one would you choose and why?
Let's Make a Deal.
Ooh, great one. Awesome.
I love it. So you can wheel and deal and you get a lot of help from the audience. And I think that would be fabulous.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate your time and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.